Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to Behind the Steel Curtain. My name is Mark Davison. This is Steelers Touchdown. Jeffrey's joined me here along with Tate. Do you fellas want to have a go at saying that, or are you just happy just chilling out?
I don't think I can do that, man.
Yeah, I'm just chilling out, man.
Fair enough. You're just like, is this guy on the beers? He's on the beers at 9 o'clock. What is happening down in Australia? That's always fun to say. We put it on. I actually don't even sound like this. Just, I can sound completely different when I go off air. But hey, that was a good first half. We went through all the points. We have Cam on 12 points, so he's leading the stakes there, and he's going to get a tea towel from us with the Ayers Rock on it, which would be great. I'm sure he'll love that if he ends up winning, and that might even you know. I think he was it this week that Cam came out and said, "I'm the best D line, and the other guys in front of him." You know, they think they're the best. So it's even more motivation from the guys that behind the steel curtain that, hey, if you're leading the comp with 12 points and there's a tea towel on the line, you know, you've got to wash your dishes somehow. All right, let's go into the Manly Award. And Jeff, who would be to me, the Manly Award is not, you know, someone who knocks someone over or just like a courageous effort. Who was that player in this game?
For my Manly Reward, I'm going to go with the little guy who was put in a tough spot, Ray McLeod, for his effort facing off against a defensive end. He was just supposed to be a down block. All he has to do is slow him down. Dan Moore Jr. doesn't get around quick enough, right? Najee ends up, that's the play. Najee, like, pushes Dan Moore Jr. Get out there, and then follows him and gains yards. Ray McLeod, the whole play slows down, and Ray McLeod is blocking a 265-pound defensive end. 6'4", 265. Ray McLeod is like 5'9", 190. And he blocks him for like a solid 2 seconds, and Najee Harris turns what should have been a 2-yard loss. Anytime a defensive end gets you like that, that should be a 2-yard loss. Instead, Najee gains like 4 yards on that play. That was Ray McLeod in a great moment. He took two – the dude actually, like, tried to get off him, tried to ragdoll him at first, and then when he goes to turn off to chase Najee, like, throws a punch straight into Ray's chest and, like, trying to get Ray. And Ray is just like, nah, man. You're not getting through. You're not getting through me. So Ray McLeod, for that play, gets my Manly Award.
Love it. And it's only the one play that he gets that for.
Yeah, I don't even care. Like, you don't – yeah. He doesn't need anything else.
What about yours, Tate? Who's the bloke that really put it to him?
It's funny, Jeffrey said, Ray, I told you guys I was at a Zoom wedding before we came on. Actually, my nephew is Henry McLeod. He's Ray's first cousin. So I was at his Zoom wedding. He got married to him. Yeah. I give my Manly Award to I think between the two, but I'm gonna say Melvin Ingram. I just think his outside of Cam, his power, his bull rush, his presence, dude's a beast. Mm-hmm. He comes to play a physical brand of football, and I think he's healthy this year as he has been healthy in a couple years. And I think we'll see his impact over the course of the season. I really like what he's shown in training camp and preseason, what he showed in that first game.
I like how he's so direct with the media. He's just they ask him a massive question that has about, 25,000 words, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go get him. I'm going to go do it. What do you mean? I'm here to win. They'll ask him about, like, do you remember being the Chargers versus Raiders? Is that a great rivalry? Yeah. So I don't care who's there. I love his direct answer. For me, it's and I've been bagging him out all off season, and I have a problem with his social media. But now I've turned off his social media, so it's great for me. I just see him on the me and Juju are good friends now. It's a clear slate. But hey, I give Juju the Manly Award this week for two reasons. One, he got nailed on that pass going out, and when it would look like a fumble or like a drop pass there. But he got absolutely creamed up. He got taken out, and he just stood up and then let's go. That's the Steeler mentality. So that, to me, refreshes everything I said about him. I do like him as a player. As a person, he's probably a good dude too. I just get a little bit annoyed watching the social media, but that's my problem. But he got nailed out, and that's such a good effort. And he kickoff return. Special teams, he caught the ball on the onside kick. And that's a hard task as well. Running into that line with all the big guys up front and going for the football, and he's coming 10 yards back, and that was his key role to go and pick that ball up. So he sealed the game. That to me, you guys got thoughts on that last play?
Yeah, he's just like diving head first for that thing too. Yeah. Man. He just does. Juju's that dude. He's going to make the play and take care of himself later. That's like second. You got to respect that.
Right. And on that play, everyone else is blocking, and that was, I guess, it was his idea to get it. But if he doesn't get that football, I guess people just looking at the ball like they did, in the Browns game with Big Ben and Connor just looked at it. So he went above and beyond to go and jump on that ball. And look, he's a big dude. He's put on some weight. He's he can see him when he runs over people. And these athletes are just freaks. But for me this week, he's got the award there. Now, as a collective, the consensus was from BTSC was TJ Watt got the Manly Award. Thoughts on that, Jeff?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't fault his game. Like, what he did coming up there, he came in like he was a freak. Like, that's what he is. That's what he does, man. He just goes in there and beats the snot out of people and go get your quarterback.
And Brian Brown comes in here. And sorry, guys, I'm trying to do the live chat and talk at the same time, but I can barely breathe and talk. Okay, Mark Davison, now that Juju and you were friends, are you going to dye your hair pink? It's a solid no, but I appreciate the comment.
You going to do the milk crate challenge, though?
No, I'd probably do it without filming. I've done some really stupid things. We used to jump off our house into the pool, and then when that wasn't enough, we used to jump off the neighbor's house into our pool. And that was really far away. But we didn't film it. We just did it for kicks. That was fun. Let's move into the coach of the week, Jeff. Who was your outstanding coach?
I'm going to go with Keith Butler. The Steelers didn't blitz. They did a lot of four-man rushes, but he got creative with them. There were some creative rushes in there, ones that would make, good old Dick LeBeau proud for his zone blitzes. He ran some real, old-school zone blitzes people could remember from the 90s when you had defensive ends dropping. Nothing as crazy as dropping Joel Steed into coverage, but like they did in the 90s a few times. But they were doing some crazy stuff, and it worked. Josh Allen was like, the cornerback's blitzing, so I've got to go over here. Nope. Like, they shifted all the linebackers that way. So clearly this side, nope. And he's like, the one where he threw the ball away, and it's like just he threw the ball on the ground in between four players. That was just a crazy zone blitz that Keith Butler drew up that was just like, they executed the blitz, and Josh Allen had no idea what to do with it. He had no idea what to do on that play. He just threw the ball away because the scheme beat him. So that to me, I'm going with Keith Butler. I know he's gotten a lot of flack in the past, but, man, his pass rushing He's the best pass rush coordinator the NFL maybe has ever seen.
And what about yourself, Tate? Who's the coach of the week? Who stood out?
Well, if Keith Butler gets credit for the schemes and the you know the defensive scheme, I'm gonna go Terrell Austin. You know he had those secondary that secondary group ready to be moved around and play different positions and as chess pieces and stuff like that that allowed Butler to run the scheme that he ran. So you know it's a collective effort. So I just think Terrell Austin really had he's coached those guys up. I mean. A couple of weeks ago, coming out of training camp, we were thinking, like, man, we got to get another corner. And we did make the trade for Witherspoon, but he hasn't played yet. So we're basically using what we have. And, you know, you have to give a lot of credit to Terrell Austin for having those guys ready to play.
Absolutely. Well, getting Trey Norwood, like we were talking, Trey Norwood, how incredible is it that he's doing that? That's his coach.
Right.
Terrell Austin's the guy who's figuring out how to use him. Yeah. Oh, the coverage scheme, man, dude. The job, Keith Butler. Terrell Austin and Mike, I'll give Mike Tomlin in there too, because you know he's in that room talking to those guys. The scheme they came up with, I think it was Chris Sims did a video on it showing how, like, where they would put people and how they would drop me and how they were basically answering every single route combination
and threw at them. And to think it's only going to get more complex because that was week one. I mean, there's things that they will be doing and haven't done yet that, you know, it's going to be great. Just I'm like you, Mark, you know, it's going to be great just watching this defense, you know, coming going forward.
Just amazing. And I guess we can move on because my bloke too, my coach of the week was Terrell Austin. The best thing I found with what Terrell Austin did and with this cornerback group, I think in my opinion, I think the cornerbacks won this game and the secondary on this game. You have Joe Hedden in there, played really good. Sutton on that fourth down. You had Pierre come across that middle and took away reception there.
That play was great because he dropped off his zone to come over
exactly
and rake that ball away.
Yeah, I think all these fellas, like, they just really had the mentality to be better than their opponent. And their opponent was pretty good with their receiving core. So I gave it the props to Austin and then those cornerbacks there. Now, this is the – oh, sorry. And actually, the overall from the consensus of the BTSC here, we actually had four. We had four coaches, and that's probably why we got a win. We have Matt Canada, Mike Tomlin, Keith Butler, and Terrell Austin all tied about two. So that just shows you how we won this week and when we versed the Bills. Now this one's the harder part, I guess, popular dunce of the week. Who would be the least impressive maybe player on this team, Jeff?
Well, this is a tough one because normally there is one player that you can sit there and look at and be like, oh my gosh, what was that guy doing? Like, you know, like if this was last year in Buffalo, Deontay Johnson would be an easy choice. But this wasn't last year in Buffalo. This year, I'm going to go with Chukwuma Okorafor, largely because on an offensive line with two rookies, I think he was the weakest offensive lineman. And that's not – it wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't that bad. We've seen worse offensive line play last year even. He wasn't that bad. He was the weakest link on the offensive line in my viewing. I'm going with him. This isn't like – there's not a real obvious choice this week at all. For the dunce of the week.
And for yourself, Tate, who's the least impressive player on the team?
Hey, Mark. Next time, man, you got to mix up who goes first sometimes, man, because Jeffrey keeps taking all my guys, man.
You can go with it. That's fine.
And like he said, it really wasn't a lot to choose from with this particular category. But since he took right. Chooks and Big Press shanked the punt, I'm gonna say Presley Harvin. Ooh, just for that shank of a punt.
Okay, well, I got one. And this is meant to be a preview game about the Raiders, and we've talked nothing about it, so I apologize about that. But we're still on these awards, and we're going to run through this really quickly. Mine was Gentry. It's really hard for me to choose anyone, but he went backwards 2 yards, so he gets dunce of the week. If you're in that locker room, everyone should shout at him and say, do better. No, don't do that. That's called hazing. Don't do that. Okay, we'll change it up then. For this is the last question. We'll wrap it up. The most popular dunce of the week was Bugs. Tate, why would it be Bugs? Why would he be the most popular, do you think? Isaiah Bugs. He was apparently the one that didn't show up in this game. from the BTSC collective.
I'm not sure why. I mean, I don't think he had a good game. I felt like he was solid. Him and Carlos Davis were a huge part of the rotation. They allowed Cam and Alua and Wormley to get rested to put that pressure on Buffalo's offensive line and rush with four. I mean, the whole rotation and the limited amount of reps or the less reps allowed the starters to really get in there and get after it. So I don't know why Bugs would be the dunce of the week.
The only reason he would be the least most impactful player is because he got 2 votes out of the 10 votes. Now, that's not an outstanding victory. However, in my notes here, and everyone can blame Matty P because he writes me all these notes. I've got a script to follow, like I'm a movie director. And apparently he was it. And I don't really remember him doing too much or getting in trouble or not really costing us a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll end on that. And let's go into we'll go into Slinging the Slang a little bit, and then we'll do a little bit of a preview for the game. But I wanted to do Slinging the Slang this week. I'm going to name 3 things. I just want to get your idea, and we'll start with you first, Tate. Do you guys have – I'll ask you the same question. Do you guys have in America, do you guys put like chicken – do you know what chicken salt is? Do you put that on your chips or your fries?
Chicken salt?
Is that like that's a bouillon? Like it's kind of like chicken flavored salt? Like it's got chicken fat in the salt?
That's the best answer because I didn't think anyone would know about this. Chicken salt? it's like chicken flavoring. So we don't know what is actually in it, and we don't know if it tastes like chicken, but it's chicken salt and it tastes great. Have you heard of that, Tate?
I haven't heard of it, but I don't cook with salt in my house just because, you know, health reasons and stuff like that. I just use garlic powder, black pepper, oregano, that kind of stuff. No salt.
This is just like we put this on our fish and chips and we ask for chicken salt, and it's like it's really nothing to do with chicken.
Is it like a seasoning salt?
Like a seasoning.
It seems like it might be something. Salt. I'm down here in Maryland. They love seafood here. It's like Obey seasoning. It's stuff it's that like you just have to put on crab legs and crabs and all that stuff like that. So maybe it's something cousin.
It's not real salt. It's not. It's salt, but it's not like the original kind of flavor. It's like it's yellow. It probably looks bad for you. It tastes bloody awesome. But yeah. So Jeff, you've have heard of that before?
That's probably poultry seasoning. That's probably just what that is, man.
Yeah, he said it's yellow. Probably.
It'll work, man. If it's yellow, that's what it is, man. It's some
chicken salt. We put that on everything. On our chips, on our burgers, everything.
I believe if I'm right, they make that by like cooking down how similar to how you make broth, but then you like dry it into the salt.
I have no idea. I just know it tastes really good and it's free when you get them on chicken chips.
Because it's meat fat.
All right.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
Our second Slinging the Slang, and we'll start with Jeffrey first because I have to do this justice. I want to know, Jeffrey, have you ever heard of this beverage? Alcoholic or non-alcoholic? It's called lemon, lime, and bitters. Have you ever heard of that?
Lemon, lime, and bitters. That's going to be alcoholic. And it's going to be probably a tonic water. A lemon tonic water.
It can be. It can go with tonic water. It can go with like lemonade. But do you guys have that in America, or have you?
No, I don't think we do. Like a bitters?
It's brilliant. Tate, have you heard of that? Lemon, lime, and bitters?
Hey, Mark, I haven't heard of it. If I come down to the land down under, I know to ask for a Foster's beer.
No!
That's what I'm going to have. I haven't heard of it.
They'll look at you funny. Foster's beer. We don't serve that down here. No. So another thing I knew you got.
That's
not
a real Australian beer?
No. The only time I've seen a Foster's beer is in Pittsburgh, and that's 100% true. When I was up in Mount Washington, I went into a pub up there, and I saw the big lead of beer, and I'm like, Foster's? And I'm like, I've never seen it anywhere else, actually.
They've been selling that stuff for 30 years, claiming it's Australian beer.
Yeah, they've got your hook, line, and sinker right there, haven't they?
So, Marky, what's the main beer in Australia? What's your main beer in Australia?
We have like Two Is New, like 4X, Victoria Bitter. What's another one that we have? Like Extra Dry, Super Dry, things like that. We have like really clean, crisp beers because I don't mess around with the craft beer where it tastes like oranges or like, you know, it's got passion fruit or those kind of things. I just go with the beer that tastes nice. It's fresh, stuff like that. But that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I, when I went over the States, I think I was in, I can't remember, I think I was in Canada. It's pretty close to the States. I asked for a lemon lime bitters, and they looked at me funny. And they, and the two ladies said, "What's that?" I said, "Well, if you go grab these three ingredients and put them all together, put a lime into it." I didn't like try and tell them what to do, but it was amazing. And then you add vodka to it, and they loved it. Like they like it's a really relaxing, like
So it's just lemon lime vodka.
Yeah, lemon. Yeah, yeah, but it's like got bitters in it too.
Okay.
it's really refreshing.
Lemon lime, so lemon lime bitters and vodka.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. It's like the,
you know,
it's,
I'll do that. I'll mess with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, sounds good.
And you can have like non-alcoholic. The bitters don't do anything to you. Bitters are like 0. Whatever. It's nothing. But, yeah. when the ladies at the bar said, "I've never heard of that," and it was a really hot day. It was like 40 degrees or like 120 in your land. And when I had it, it was like it's amazing, and they loved it. So, and they told me they were going to put it on the menu. I don't know if they'll just, you know, pull on my leg, but they you know, they said they're going to put it on the menu. So when I go back, it better be there. But I'm going to leave. I'm going to I have to cut to this one to Jeff first. If that's okay, Tate. This one's really funny. Jeff, this is my last one for Slingless Slang. Have you heard of the game called Goon or Fortune?
Goon or Fortune.
I'll write it in Goon of Fortune.
I have not heard of it.
Like no. Like the Wheel of Fortune. Do you have any idea?
Yeah,
what that
I'm guessing it's like you've got whammies. It's almost like the old
pressure, you know, luck.
Big money, no whammies.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea what that means.
That show was called Pressure Luck.
Oh, okay. So you what do you think?
If you got the whammy, you lost everything.
Yeah.
So what's this? What was it again? Goon or Fortune?
Goon
or Fortune.
Goon or Fortune. Do you have any idea what that might be, Tate?
Using my context clues, I'm going to guess is kind of similar to something, the Australian version of Wheel of Fortune?
Yes, but with drinks involved in a barbecue. So we have the Australian.
Sounds like fun. Things.
If you guys come over, we'll play it. I haven't got a Hills Hoist where you put the it's like a, you know, like a clothesline where you have like the middle one and it like spins around like that. So I haven't got one in my backyard, but Goon or Fortune is a clothesline, and this is where it gets really fun. You stand around in a circle, and you put the Goon bag, which is the wine bag, which costs about $4, okay? It's got about 4 liters in it, and you strap it to the end of one of the prongs off the Hills Hoist, okay? And you spin that sucker right around in a circle, and whoever it lands closest to has to drink the Goon. Did you expect that at all?
No, not at all. Not what I was expecting.
The entire
that
4 years?
That sounds like Australia, though.
Depends. You might get a second bag. Depends how far you want to go.
Okay. Well, I didn't expect that.
No. So it's the Hills Hoist. We'll set audio, guys. It's the Hills Hoist. It's like, tetherball. It's the Hills Hoist.
Yeah.
The wine bag on the very edge. You tape it up. You get a bit of duct tape. Put it on there. You get about 20 friends, you know, get your grandmother involved, get everyone involved. Who cares? not the kids, though, not the kids. And then when you spin it, whoever it's closest to, it goes all the way around. And you know, you make sure you loosen the bolts a little bit and you spin it all the way around. Whoever gets it has to drop down to a knee, or they just drink it above the clothesline.
And it's called like the Goon of Fortune.
When
we get off here, I'm going to look for that on YouTube, see if I can see what it looks like.
It's pretty funny.
Sounds interesting.
It is very. I played it a few times, and no one really wins. No one really wins because sometimes there are characters in the crowd that will stop it on you, and then you're like, oh, you can't interfere, but then you got to play by the rules, and then the ref doesn't throw a flag, so you're sitting there and you got the Goon above your head, and the best thing too is once you're finished with the bag, the Goon bag we call it here. You can blow that back up and use it as a pillow too when you fall asleep.
Hmm.
All right. Do you guys want to talk about the game or
football? What?
All right, we've got a few minutes left. That was the Slingin' the Slang, and we've gone way over time. We've got about 10 minutes left, but let's talk about the game, hey? What's going to happen with the Raiders and you know, two players or one player standing out for the Raiders this week? Oh, sorry, for the Steelers who got to stand out.
For the Steelers, I'm looking for Najee Harris in the passing game. Najee in the passing game, I think, is going to stand out. My other one is either Ebron or Freiermuth. It's the tight ends. I think we got to attack them inside. I like the Raiders, what they're doing at cornerback. And if we can back those safeties up and get our tight ends and our running back in on those linebackers, I think that's where the Steelers have a chance to really, really go after the Raiders.
And for yourself, Ted, who's that one player? Yeah, it's coming in. It's tomorrow, really, isn't it? It's tomorrow. Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Who's the player that stands out at home? It's a big game at home.
I'm also looking for Najee to step up. I'm thinking 85 yards rushing, maybe 3 or 4 receptions, 100 total yards at least. So I think he'll have a big game. On the other side of the ball, I'm looking for us to double our sack output. We had 2 sacks last week. I think Derek Carr will be more of an in the pocket quarterback. He has slight mobility, but he's not going to run like Josh Allen. So I think once we get home, he'll be there more often than Josh Allen was. Therefore, because of that, I think we'll accumulate more sacks this week. 4 sacks.
I agree with you there too. I think Derek Carr is not as mobile as Josh Allen, or not a better quarterback. So Derek Carr has some problems in his hands, and then I'll get to you in a second, Jeff. But I agree with Najee. Najee's my guy too. I can't wait to see Najee in the black and gold, even though they wore it last week. But they're at home, 65,000 fans. It's about time we have a run for 40 yards, or we get some really big gains on in the running game. And I want to see him score a touchdown or two. What do you reckon, Jeff?
I was going to say, he's talking about Derek Carr in the pocket. If you watch that Ravens game, one thing that really stood out to me is the Ravens were getting pressure off the edge, right? Because the Raiders are having trouble with their tackles. But what was happening is Derek Carr was able to step up into the pocket. And when he's able to step up in the pocket, he is deadly throwing downfield. If he has that time, if he has a clean pocket, he can step up, boom, downfield. And that's where the Raiders really turned it on the Ravens and beat them. They won that game because he was able to step up in that pocket. So I am absolutely on with Tate. That interior pass rush is going to be huge, because if they're in on, Derek Carr, he's not throwing downfield, and instead you're turning, big plays into sacks.
That's it. And also, the Ravens had about only 40 players on their roster, which doesn't really help. They're losing, it's not good to say, you don't cheer for that, but it's really difficult now for the Ravens to get back at it. Before I go into the second player from the Raiders, here's a question, and I'll sing it to you, Tate. And I asked this question yesterday in Tony's show. Would you prefer, Tate, the Steelers being 2-0 or the Ravens being 0-2?
I mean, I just want to stack W, so I want us to be 2-0.
Fair enough.
You know?
What about yourself, Jeff? What do you reckon? 2-0
or 0-2? I'm with Kevin. You know what? Whatever the Ravens do, we don't care. They don't matter. Like, really, they are the nameless gray faces that just happen to be in our division. I don't care about the Ravens. Like, if they're good, if they're not, whatever. I just want to beat them. As long as, Steelers go out there, win, beat the teams we have to face, control what we can control. Let's go do this.
If I had the choice, and it was life or death, I honestly would rather see the Ravens be 0-2, just because this whole offseason, now hear me out, the whole offseason was, we're going to be the best, we're going to win, we are the number one team in the AFC. I think that them falling really hard is a lot more funnier than the Bengals not making the playoffs, as much as I hate the Bengals. I think them to be 0-2, and if we go 1-1, fair enough, because we shouldn't have won last week. But then to be 0-2 is just hilarious. And they have 2 really hard games. But every man, their dog in Raven neighborhoods thinking we're going to be champions. But you're not as good as you might be. You think, and their health problems are really tough too. Lastly, we have, who's the guy on the Raiders, Tate, that can cause problems for the Steelers?
Oh, you mean I get to pick Darren Waller first? the obvious choice.
Yeah, that's
that's the obvious choice. So I'll go away from that one. I think on the defensive side of the ball, I think we have to block up Max Crosby and Nassib. I mean, because we have Chooks is not playing well, and Dan Moore is inexperienced tackle. So I think those matchups will be key as far as the offense. I'm not so much worried about the interior, because the Raiders' in rushers are stronger than their interior. And I think Trey Turner being the veteran, Kendrick Green coming along. He'd come out of the game for a little bit last week, and Dotson has some experience, and then he's a poised. He seems like a poised young man, so I'm not worried about the interior. I think we can handle that. I think their ends, we need to just block that up. And so I think those players are key, the Raiders' defensive ends.
What about yourself, Jeff? Who's that Raider that we need
He got to go first, and he took Darren Waller, Max Crosby, and Carl in the City.
I didn't talk about Darren Waller.
Marky, yeah, I'll leave you Waller. I'm going to go with somebody I think could cause the Steelers problems. That is Ruggs. Ooh. Henry Ruggs the third, because the one thing we don't have in this secondary, we have gone for smart players who know the defense. We don't have the secondaries we used to have where we went for athletes, right? We've got Terrell Edmonds still, right? But even Minka is as fast as Darren Waller, right? Darren Waller at 6'6", 250, runs a 40 time the same speed as Minka Fitzpatrick. That's craziness. And then you have Henry Ruggs. So if you've got your tight ends, your physical, your athletes in the secondary worrying about Darren Waller, and you put Ruggs on either Sutton or Hayden outside. Now, Hayden, I'm not too worried about. That man may not be that fast, but he's got that old man savvy. He will hold you in 18 different ways, and the ref won't see any of them.
Right.
He can commit penalties all day, and the ref won't see it because he just knows how to get away with it. He's that dude. But Cameron Sutton, or you get a Trey Norwood, you get someone like that matched up on Henry Ruggs, and let's say for a play or two, they're able to give Derek Carr that ability to step up in the pocket and launch that ball, especially with Tua out. You got Hayward and Alualu, who are our pocket crushers. If they're both out, you know, and Carlos Davis isn't in there, and all of a sudden we're not getting that pressure up the middle, you can see the Steelers get burned downfield. We've seen that before.
Ruggs, we don't have
the athletes to really cover that. So Ruggs is like Ruggs is my dude that I'm like, he's kind of a wild card. And plus, seriously, if he catches one or two balls, that's game-changing. He catches 250. He catches a 50-yard pass. That's game-changing. So
Ruggs is like
I'll go with him.
Ruggs is like a high 4.340, isn't he? And then they won a game.
4.27, something ridiculous.
They won a game last year in overtime against the Jets like that, where on the play in overtime where I think it was a bomb to Ruggs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let him go get it.
Yeah, but it's only the Jets. for me, my player is short and sweet, and it's very hard to go third. I won't take Waller because we all know Waller's amazing. It's I'm quarterback driven, really. It's Derek Carr. You got to take his keys and not let him drive the car anywhere, and you take care of him and you win the game. It's really short. You put him under pressure with enough pressure, like we did with the Buffalo Bills guy up there, Allen, and you take care of him. Then we have a good game on our hands, and we can play our football the way we play with Najee. So. We're heading into almost the finish, guys. But just lastly, we'll go around the field with maybe a final thought, your punt of the week, and the score. That's a lot of homework right there. But we'll do that, and we'll start with the final score and the punt of the week, and we'll go with you, Tate.
The final score, I have the if I was in Vegas, I have the Steelers covering. So I think we'll get three offensive touchdowns, couple field goals. So 27, I'm going to say 27-17 Steelers.
All right. Do you also have a punt of the week as well? Like, would Najee score two touchdowns or?
I have Najee scoring two touchdowns, and I'm hoping for Najee scoring two touchdowns because he's on my fantasy team. So yeah, Najee scoring two touchdowns is great.
I just gave you mine in the example, and I shouldn't have done that. Now I need to think of one before we end the show.
You say yours, and I just come on and agree with it.
All right, Jeff. Holy dooly, what was I even saying? Who's your punt of the week in the final score?
I've said this before. These two teams combined for 16 points through three quarters in their Week 1 games. Both of their defenses showed up. They put pressure on the quarterback. I am looking for another slow start from the Steelers. Not looking as in looking forward to, but I think we're going to see another slow start from the Steelers. I think we're going to see an ugly game to welcome football back to Heinz Field, a good old classic Steelers slobber knocker of a game. I think we're going to see a game go into the fourth quarter, something like, you know, really low scoring, and then you're going to see Derek Carr, like let's say 6-0 Steelers, Derek Carr leads, does what he does, leaves Oakland on a fourth quarter touchdown drive to take the lead 7-6, and then we're going to see Najee Harris catch a pass from Ben Roethlisberger and break it to the house to win the game. My score is 13-7 Steelers.
Wow. So I'm
my pun of the week. You ready for this? My pun of the week.
I'm ready.
9 sacks combined between the two teams. 9 or 10. Whoa. We're going to see 9-plus sacks from these two teams combined.
Well, I think they keep Big Ben upright, so that's 9 sacks to TJ Watt.
I'd go as far as 7-2 Steelers in the advantage, but I think we're going to see 9 or 10 sacks between the two teams. We're going to see quarterbacks getting eaten the dirt a lot in this game.
I'm going crazy here in this one, and it's just because I'm a man of my word, not because I actually agree with the prediction, but I said it and I'll say it again. It's going to be 45-0 Steelers. Najee's going to run 2 touchdowns. Hear me out, fellas. Hear me out. 2 touchdowns for Najee. 1. 2 touchdowns running, 1 for receiving touchdown. Juju's going to get a TD. DJ's going to get a TD. And then to top it off, because we're cheeky, Boswell's going to nail a 49-yarder to be 45-0. See you later, Gruden, mate. Your 10-year deal is nothing to us, mate. Get out of town. I see big things from this Steeler team. I really do. If they can take care of Carr, there's a big game at hand. I would be shocked if it was the opposite and they win 45-0. I think I might just quit. I'll just turn off the computer and just go for a long walk into the lake. No, I'm only
joking, watching soccer.
but there's 0-0 games. They're just like, who's going to win? No one wins. I see big things from this Raiders group. Any final thoughts? And then I'll end the show. Any final thoughts, Jeff?
My final thought for this game is the Steelers need to win the interior line battle on both offense and defense. On offense, get in Derek Carr's face, get around his feet. Don't let him move. Don't let him be comfortable. Stuff the run game. Steelers will dominate them on defense if they do that. And on the other side, win that interior line, win that game, get the run game going, keep Ben Roethlisberger able to step up in the pocket and launch some bombs downfield to Chase Claypool. And let's win a freaking game.
Final thoughts, Tate.
I just think I'm looking forward to seeing the scheme that the defense uses to try and minimize Waller's impact on the game. I mean, I think we'll see a lot of looks like we did last week. I think you'll see some Terrell Edmonds on Waller, some Bush or Schobert on Waller, maybe even Minka Fitzpatrick on Waller. You know, and each time, no matter who's on them, you know, head up, who's over top of them, I think each person, whoever that is, will have help. So, because he's that critical to take out the game, you know. So, I anticipate somebody like Hunter Renfrow maybe having a bigger game tomorrow than Waller, just because if Carr takes what the defense gives him, they're not going to give him Waller, so he has to take something else. So, that's kind of what I anticipate.
100%. Well, my final thoughts, and I'll wrap it up here. I do believe the Steelers will win. I believe the Steelers go 2-0. I think it's a big showing at home. I also going to throw it out there. My pun of the week was Najee to have 2 touchdowns, but I also covered off about 15 other players to score touchdowns too. 45-0. Here we go. The Steelers are going to win this game. 2-0. I really do believe that. And I do believe also that I'm a big AFC North guy and getting into it. I think that's the way to get in the playoffs every single year is to run that division and try and have a chance. So I also believe that the Ravens will go 0-2. And I want to leave it with this before I end the show and say, if the Ravens go 0-2 and the Steelers go 2-0, there is so much pressure. There is so much pressure on these Ravens. We have really no pressure on us. We beat the Buffalo Bills. We have a good game against the Raiders, 1-0 and 1-0. It's great. We're both good teams, right? So if the Ravens lose this one and they can't beat the quality sides, like the Chiefs or the Browns, and if they're 0-2, I'd be scratching my head saying, is this team going to be a playoff team? And there's a lot of pressure. And from all the fans talking all their yip-yap over the last offseason saying the Ravens are going to be the best, we're sitting in a really good seat because we're still counted out. We'll be counted out going in that Bengals game as well. So, yeah, my final thoughts is Steelers win 2-0. I want to say thank you to you fellas for coming on. It's been awesome for you guys being the Aussies today. Jeff, mate, thank you very much. Tate, mate, thank you. Thank you again for coming
Mark,
on.
Hey, Mark, thank you guys for having me. I'd just like to say if anybody has an opportunity, check out the Know-It-Alls. We'll be on tomorrow between the late afternoon game and the Sunday night game for about 45 minutes. So check us out. The Know-It-Alls on YouTube. Thanks.
All right, awesome. Yeah, I'll try. And if I go to that podcast and I don't know anything, am I allowed to be in there? Because I don't know anything here. So is that cool?
Yeah, sure. We don't know anything. We just say we know it all. We don't know anything.
All right, guys, we're going to end it. Thank you, everyone, for in the live chat. Thank you, guys, on the audio. Behind the Steel Court is an amazing platform. Steelers Touchdown Under is great. This has been a great show. Only a little bit of Raider talk, but we know we're going to get this W. Steelers 2-0.